The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 53 of the Canes Cast. Yes, 53. You know what that means?
What's that?
We truly can't make this stuff up.
We really can't. I mean,
it's just how things work.
That is just how it plays out.
All right.
We have no control over anything. It just happened to fall into place like that.
Once again, they don't tell us anything. We don't know anything. But if they're monitoring along with the Canes Cast to do things numerically, then so
be it. Works out.
All right. Good for us, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll find out if this is good for the Canes. And what are we talking about? The Jeff Skinner trade to the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for a prospect and picks. And this is set depending on which side of the fence you're on, your house on fire, or it was time to move to a new house anyway. And I believe that's the two sides of the fence that you have. Look, Jeff Skinner, a really popular hockey player with the Carolina Hurricanes, especially when he burst on the scene 8 seasons ago. Think about it. This would have been his ninth season with the Carolina Hurricanes. In 3 of those 8 seasons, he scored 30 goals. I mean, that's really good in today's day and age of the National Hockey League. You give up a bona fide goal scorer in the NHL. But you are also facing a player who's on the last year of his contract, not really sure of how he fit in with the organization moving forward, and the organization has some new pieces that are coming in that they want to get a look at. Oh, and also all of these players down in Charlotte who at some point have to get ice time in the NHL. So when you have an asset, you want to move them. But like anything, Michael, I've said this a few times in a bunch of interviews. I don't know how many times you've been interviewed about this.
None, actually.
Oh, wow.
I've laid low.
Really?
Found a safe house nearby.
No, I just put it right out there, and here we go. How we view players, and when I say we, the media, the fans, is not necessarily how the league views a player. That's other general managers, other teams, other head coaches. That's just what it is. And that I'm not trying to do some clandestine story that's going on here. But a lot of times there are reasons that you think, oh, this player you should get the moon for. And then when he gets traded, you're like, that's it? There's reasons behind it.
Yeah, there's – and I think as sports fans, I'm a sports fan, you're a sports fan, we get emotionally invested in our teams and our players. So, like, for example, as a fan of the Carolina Panthers, I am emotionally invested in that team and in some of the players they have. You, the same with the Minnesota Vikings. I think working
not to the extent you have.
Well, I think working in sports has, I think, tempered some of that emotional attachment. In that, I sort of understand the business side of it all now. But it is. It's when a fan favorite like Jeff Skinner gets traded, it's very easy to react emotionally, and that's just part of being a fan. That's part of what makes sports fandom the way it is everyone's emotions involved in the sport. And of course it is an emotional move. It's one that had been somewhat projected throughout the offseason. Kind of seemed like it might happen
yep.
there around the draft, and then sort of tapered off and obviously picked back up and happened here in early August. But It's easy to react emotionally, but I think there is also a business side of it that we all have to understand. And that's kind of what I tried to do in what I wrote on the website last week, shortly after the trade has happened, is just walk through the why of it a little bit. And that doesn't mean you have to like the trade. I think there's a difference in liking the trade versus at least just understanding why the Hurricanes did what they did. But it's... You know, it happens all the time. Emotional
yep.
reactions. You know, again, going back to my, you know, being a fan of the Carolina Panthers when Kelvin Benjamin got traded, my emotional reaction was this makes the Panthers worse because they've traded away the number one wide receiver who catches passes, catches touchdowns. But there was a business side to it that you had to kind of understand, and, you know, not equating Kelvin Benjamin's situations to Jeff Skinner's in any way, because I think they're completely different in terms of Benjamin was dealing with a few off the field issues. Jeff Skinner, I don't think in any way had those same off ice issues. And Kelvin Benjamin's attitude hasn't been the best, obviously, since he left. And Jeff Skinner's could not have been any better mm-hmm. in the conference call that we had with him late last week. So not equating those in that sense, but just equating them in the fact that they were both high draft picks. They both had excellent rookie seasons. And at first, it's kind of a shock to see the return that both trades got. But I think from the Hurricanes' perspective, when you look at the return that Jeff Skinner got, it's not, I think, what many people expected it to be. And it was probably, I would say, his return would have been higher last season coming off, or excuse me, last summer coming off a career season in which he scored 37 goals, had 2 years remaining on his contract. But in the situation that it was now, in the present, with a year remaining on his contract, considering the no trade clause that he had a short list of teams, the Hurricanes went out and got the return that they felt maximized the value for Jeff Skinner. And that's what I think we have to understand, is that a lot of factors play into a move like this. And it happened, and it's natural to react emotionally to it, but there is a different side to the story. And I think that's what we're here to talk through today.
Yeah. And you mentioned the emotions. That's part of sports. It's why you have a connection to your team. And if there's a player you like who gets traded, you should be upset, unless you look at who comes back and you say, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. But let's break this down a little bit more on the business side of things. Jeff Skinner had a no movement clause, a no trade clause, part of his contract. So that meant he dictated where he wanted to go. So that makes it hard to drive up the price for a player if you're only bidding between four and five teams, and three teams don't have or cannot add that player. So you can't say, oh, Team X, Buffalo, is willing to give us this, when Buffalo can look at Team X's roster situation and say, no, they can't. They can't do that. So you then have to maximize the most you can get out of certain areas that players are going to be traded to. And, you know, it's funny. I'm all for free agency. I'm all for players can pick and choose and go wherever they want to go and sign whatever kind of contract they want. I hate no trade clauses, because the player's freedom is you get to free agency and I can go and pick and choose wherever I want to go. Basically, if you get a no trade clause, that becomes free agency part two for you. That's all sports. That's not just hockey. That's just how I feel, because if I'm a general manager or a fan and we're going to trade a player, I don't care if this player is not going to be happy where we trade him to, because we're trying to make the team better. And the player is still going to get his contract. He's still going to get paid. He's still going to play here. And when his contract's up, he can leave that place. So that's how that works out for me. But you have to understand that. So when people are sitting there and saying, oh, the organization, how could you only get this? Because there were only so many places that Jeff Skinner was willing to go. And that's a big part of this. And I just think that we sit back in the video game era, because I grew up with it, and you came up, and it was already established. But I came up, I remember the first time you could be a general manager in a video game, mind blown. It was the greatest thing. I am going to trade for every all-star,
right,
and I'm going to trade every player on my team who, if you ever played video games, is rated in the 60s, and I'm going to bring in all the 90 guys, and I'm going to get the team that I want to. It's that easy, right? Which, by the way, EA, come on, man.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm sure you will. That's more your domain than it is mine. But
it didn't even look like Jeff Skinner. Well, first of all, fix your graphics.
You gotta go with what you have there. Don't do this, because we might need them to send us free video. I'm trying to parlay this into free systems and games for us.
I think we're past that at this point.
All right. Well, then fine.
Hopefully they don't listen.
No.
Or if they do, fix your graphics.
Well, there you go.
Seriously.
Get it together. See what's happening.
And maybe, you know, take it easy a little bit.
But that, for everybody who's listening, if you want to find out, if you're just running around going, why didn't they get more? Why didn't they get a starter? Because that's all that was offered. Now, the surprising thing to me, and I'll take this role of it, is in Don Waddell's press conference, the phone presser that he did, I was surprised to hear that they didn't at least see what a contract extension would be like this offseason. Even if they put out like a bridge, you know, we'll offer you this, to find out there were no negotiations, that was a little surprising to me. But when you heard that, that led everyone who was on that conference call and then who heard it to know their mission this summer was to move Jeff Skinner and get the best possible deal.
Mm. I even went back and listened to Jeff Skinner's end-of-season press conference, end-of-season media scrum. And I won't say there was a hint at him knowing that he was going to be moved, but there was it felt a little different because he was asked heading into the summer, heading into the last obviously full year of his contract. He was asked about those certain things, and he didn't really get into specifics a whole lot, but it felt maybe a little different, and maybe that's hindsight just looking back at it now, you know, once the trade has been completed versus then. But I do think in those exit meetings, exit interviews that Hurricanes management had with players, I do think the decision was made that maybe it was time for a fresh start for both sides, for the Hurricanes, who haven't been to the playoffs since 2009, for Jeff Skinner, who hasn't experienced the playoffs in his 8-year career. And not to draw a correlation between the two, but if you're the Hurricanes, why not try something new? Why not try to make the playoffs without Jeff Skinner, who hasn't and I'm not putting this all on his shoulders. I just want to get ahead of that. Yeah. But the Hurricanes haven't made the playoffs with Jeff Skinner on their roster. So why not try something different and see if that ends up working? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out this season, because the Hurricanes, while they've been without Skinner for periods of time throughout his time here, especially with
most games he's ever missed in a season, though, was 18.
Yeah, with the concussions back sort of in the middle of his time here, early to middle of his time here in Carolina. But they haven't really – he's played, I think, some 93% of the games that he could have played. So the Hurricanes have never been without Skinner for really a prolonged period of time. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects this team and its ability to score goals. I think it's ultimately going to be a good thing, and I understand why that's tough to grasp at the moment, because you do take that emotional reaction and look at, okay, here's as you mentioned, a guy who scored 30 goals 3 times in his career. You count on him for at least 20 goals. I think he scored 20 goals in every season except for one, and that might have been the shortened season.
Two. The shortened season, he didn't do it, and then 1 year, I think he had 18.
So you're taking that out of your lineup, but I think where you're going to see the most growth is with the youth in the lineup. So a guy like Andrei Svechnikov, a guy like Martin Nechas, a guy like Valentin Zikov or Warren Fogle, who really,
Lucas
if you
Walmart.
Look at the, yeah.
I mean, that's what I said a little bit earlier. There are a lot of guys down in Charlotte. Let's see if they can play.
If you look at the depth chart before Skinner gets moved, I don't know, like, where does Valentin Zikov fit in to the roster before Jeff Skinner gets moved? I mean, I don't know if he has a true regular spot in the lineup, or a guy like Warren Fogle or even Lucas Walmark, as you mentioned. This opens the door for them to prove that they're ready to take that next step, and I think the Hurricanes are confident in each of those players that they're ready to take the next step, and that's why they were comfortable in making this move.
Yeah, and you mentioned Skinner. He went under 20 twice in his career. He had 13 in the shortened year, which was 12-13, and then he had 18 in 14-15, but he played 77 games that year. That was coming off of a 33-goal campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's a lot to break down and analyze here. I don't know why you just put it all on Jeff Skinner for the playoff drought, though. Why? Why'd you do that?
I know that's going to be the reaction.
Silly to pin playoff droughts on one guy. Why would you do that?
That's interesting.
I don't know. I don't know the mentality of that.
No, me neither.
I don't get it, especially in a team sport.
Yes.
That you put it on one guy.
It's weird.
All right. But there are those who do.
Now
I mean, we've even pointed out Jeff Skinner plays a lot. I want to go back to his trade value, though. You pointed out he's played roughly 93% of the games he can play in his career. I don't know if that's a real number or not, but it sounds real.
It's 92, 93
around
there.
Look at you. Doing homework for this.
Yeah.
Can never come up with a like it, keep it, send it back. But you got
it
that.
It wasn't for this. I did it when I was writing my article, and it didn't make the cut, ultimately.
Michael Smith, the web's Michael Smith, has just told everybody, this is how we prep for this show. Generally, we have our numbers when we're doing other things.
Right.
And then we just put
and then
it
we
in
remember
here.
Them, and it might not even be right.
But it goes back to what other teams, GMs, people perceive of a player. Jeff Skinner hasn't missed significant time with a concussion since the 13-14 season.
Yeah.
He missed 11 games that year.
Yeah. it's not even something that we've talked about regularly since then.
I haven't talked about it in the last three seasons.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
But that's something that a general manager and team doctors and everybody, you can say he's fine, he's clear, he hasn't had a concussion in four seasons. But the team that wants to acquire him is going to be like, yeah, but you know what? The next big hit, and we're not going to give you. So that goes into value of players. Like, players' health goes into it. And Jeff Skinner could be concussion-free for 6 years. If he left, you know, 6 years from now, somebody's still going to say, yeah, you know, concussions are a problem.
I do think he's done a good job since then in adjusting his game so that he's not putting himself in those bad positions to get hit. But it does. I mean, it could be completely freak the next one of these. And I hope that it doesn't happen, because I want him to be healthy while he plays. I want him to be healthy after he finishes playing. So I hope it doesn't happen again. But these things, especially when you have repeated instances, it can be incredibly freak.
I just bring that up because when people think of value, the other team is looking at, well, we know that he wants to play here. We want him here, but we have this question mark, so we're not going to do this. And just for other references for people who are out there, the Sabres made a trade at the deadline this year where they shipped out Evander Kane to the San Jose Sharks. Now, Evander Kane is a guy who scored 30 goals in his career, and he's a big, powerful winger, and he was having a really good year with the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres shipped him to San Jose for a conditional first-round pick in 2019 that is going to be a late first-round pick, because the Sharks are going to be a good team, at least I think. But it had to be Kane had to sign an extension. If he didn't sign an extension with San Jose, that was a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. And Danny O'Regan. That's what they got for Evander Kane. And I'm not trying to do a comparison, but I'm doing a comparison. Evander Kane and Jeff Skinner, I don't want to say are the exact same player, because Kane comes with the off-ice baggage. There is none of that with Jeff Skinner. There is no, to my knowledge, any off-ice baggage. He's not doing stuff he's not supposed to do, and teammates didn't get along with him. None of that. Kane had that baggage over him. Would you say that was a fair trade for Buffalo, that they got the most out of it? No, of course not. And trades aren't like they used to be in this league. They're hard to make. You got to figure in salary cap and everything else that goes into it. But it's funny because everybody's sitting there saying, oh, what a fleecing. Well, that was a team that got fleeced at the deadline. So that's just how trades are made now. And second-round draft picks, and I think that this is going to be a high second-round draft pick coming in return, because I don't see the Sabres making the playoffs this year.
No. I mean, I even think Skinner could be a trade deadline candidate.
Well, the win-win for Buffalo, just for a half a second on this, is if he's really good and he clicks with whoever they put him with, then you can get an extension. You found a 30-goal scorer. You found that scoring winger you wanted. You're fine. The other part of it is if he's having a good season but the team isn't, you can trade him and recoup everything that you dealt to the Carolina Hurricanes in some way, shape, or form. Which, speaking of, the Canes do get a player in Cliff Poo, and I know we're going to hear every nickname and pun, and it's already out there. This is a guy who, don't sleep on him right now. He's 20 years old. He's 6'2", 195 pounds, and he scores. He scores everywhere he goes. For the London Knights this past, you know, in 16-17, he had 35 goals. Last year he had 29 goals. He got traded in the OHL from London to Kingston, and he puts up 84 points. That's not too shabby.
Yeah, not
this
too
guy,
shabby.
This guy can play. He's a big power winger.
Yeah, and it's going I'm anxious to see him in training camp, because he's going to begin his professional season this year after signing his entry-level contract last October. Likely going to play for Charlotte this season, but he could be an impact player down there. And
the
if
way,
he is an impact player down there,
Elite Prospects already has him with the Charlotte Checkers.
Oh, okay, so there you go.
Good website, by the way.
If he is an impact player down there, he could see his name be on the shortlist for recall candidates with the Hurricanes this
Absolutely.
Season. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to see him up with the big club at some point this season. That assumes a lot, injuries and whatnot, and we don't want to see that. But he's going to begin his professional career, and if he has any sort of scoring luck that he's had in the OHL for the last 4 years, he's gonna score some goals in Charlotte. So that's not a bad return. I mean, it's I know it's looking at a guy who's
not an NHL-ready player that everybody's looking at.
And it's not a 30-goal scorer who's, you know, proven it. It's potential.
Everybody lives in the moment now in sports. The second a trade is made, the second a draft pick is made, what's he going to be? Is he a Hall of Famer? He hasn't played a game yet. These kids have not played a game yet in pro football or baseball or whatever. A trade, I don't think, can really be evaluated if you're dealing for picks and prospects until the picks and prospects are all in.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for, like, the Calgary trade, which was two NHL players for two NHL players.
NHL player for plus, NHL player, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that is the very definition of a hockey trade. This, perhaps not so much, because you are dealing an NHL player for prospect and picks. And so it's super easy to say, oh, the Hurricanes got fleeced or the Hurricanes lost this trade, the Sabres won it. But let's wait and see.
If Cliff Poo turns into a 25-goal scorer and the second-round pick turns into a goalie, into a forward who you can use, then are we saying that if Jeff Skinner only spends a year in Buffalo and then goes and signs someplace else?
That second-round pick, as you mentioned, incredibly valuable. You know, even the fourth and sixth-round picks, well, maybe not on the surface, are, you know, really jump out at you.
But you can use them in packages.
Yeah, those are all assets. Whether you use them as picks to make in the draft or you package them together, those are assets. And the Hurricanes, with the situation they were in, maximized their return for Jeff Skinner. And there's just a lot of circumstances that went into the deal and what they got.
Can I also be real on something, too?
Sure, be real.
Be real?
Be real.
All right. Anybody who's trying to say this is a salary dump, it's not.
It's not.
This team doesn't need to cut salary. They don't.
It's not. It does, and this doesn't go into the salary dump thinking, but it does give the Hurricanes more room when they're looking at extensions for Sebastian Aho.
Because that's Teravainen.
The Aho is going to be a big one. Teravainen has potential to be quite large. So, and when you look at the number of forwards the Hurricanes have under contract for next season, it's only like four or five. So they're going to have to sign some pieces. And it's not that the Hurricanes wouldn't have had room under the salary cap with a new contract for Jeff Skinner, but it gives them a bit more breathing room to maybe do some other things that they're looking to do.
Exactly. So everything is intertwined now. It just really is. So, and I was asked that question a bunch. I almost had to say it's hard for a team that's near the salary cap floor to dump salary. Generally, it's the other way around.
Right.
So,
and the Hurricanes are still going to spend quite a bit of money this year. I mean, that's, you know,
because all of the extensions kick in for players like Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce. You're going to have other players you're going to have to sign. Oh, and by the way, Adam Fox, who's the other part of that Calgary trade, who, if the Canes sign Adam Fox, Michael Ferland, Adam Fox, and Dougie Hamilton, if we're going a hockey trade, I like that. I like that return a lot. So, look, yes, the Canes have given up a 30-goal scorer. How do you replace a 30-goal scorer immediately? I can't tell you, but maybe it's the guy who the Canes were not banking on having this year, who fell into their lap when they won the lottery, moving up from the 11th pick to the second. Maybe it's Andrei Svechnikov.
That makes a difference for sure. I mean, Don Waddell said it on the news conference, the conference call that he had shortly after the trade. Does that change the landscape?
Marty Nachos being ready to play changed the landscape of this team. That's a really good term.
Yeah, because then you're sitting, you know, if you make the pick at 11, you might pick a guy who's maybe a year off from being ready. But you're not factoring in someone who can come in and probably, you know, I'm projecting Svechnikov to finish somewhere in the 40 to 50 point range. You're not projecting a guy to come in and add that sort of point production. And then maybe you think harder about keeping Jeff Skinner because you want to have that. You want to be able to rely on him for at least 20 goals or at least, you know, 40, 50, 60 points, whatever it is. So I do think with that pick, it definitely changed the way the Hurricanes approached their offseason strategy.
Yeah, it did. It really, truly did. And here's where we are, which, by the way, if we go back to last week's Canes cast, when people were talking about likelihood of trades, one of them getting traded, we had over 75%.
We did say that.
We did.
Yep.
We did.
And I think we leaned Skinner, too, because just because of the situation.
The contract situation.
Right.
And then it was both getting traded. I think I had both below 50%, and just how it plays out.
Because I think if you look, if Justin Falk were to get moved, that's going to be much more of a hockey trade, a player-for-player trade,
sure.
just because of the fact that he does have two seasons left on his contract. You're not working yourself into a situation where it's going to be tough to move him. It's going to be easier in a sense that you can trade player for player there than it was for Skinner.
I mean, if that happens.
And the other big question, too, was why not hold on to Skinner? You know, if you're not going to extend him, why not hold on to him until the deadline? But that assumes a lot.
Yes.
It assumes a lot. It assumes that he's going to remain healthy. It assumes that the biggest thing I think it assumes is that the Hurricanes aren't going to be in playoff position. Because if they're in playoff position, they're not going to deal 20.
A guy who's scoring 30 goals
right.
on the season.
Like, imagine the fan reaction to that.
Yeah, he becomes the rental at that point in time.
Right. So I think it,
oh,
it.
Also, you're assuming that he is going to have a good season,
right.
and his value would be higher than what it is right now.
Because if he just has an average season, I don't think his value changes much at all. Because you're still looking at a player for whatever team he would go to that they would use for a month or two before he moves on, in all likelihood, in free agency.
Yeah. So.
And I don't know if that would have been the situation with the Hurricanes.
Who knows?
We don't know. The team didn't explore that. Skinner's side didn't explore that. So we might never know, if that was meant to be. But it assumes a lot, and I think the Hurricanes played it right by going ahead and making the move before the season starts. And two, they get to start the season with just a clean slate. You know, they've moved on from a couple of long-term players in both Cam Ward and Jeff Skinner. And now you have a locker room that's truly, truly remade. You know, there's a new head coach. There's going to be a singular captain in all likelihood. There's going to be some new faces, some new talent. There's going to be some young guys coming in, Martin Nechas, Andrei Svechnikov. It's going to be truly a new locker room, and this allows the Hurricanes to go ahead and turn that page and not start the season with that cloud, still above them.
Right.
Because it happened in Colorado, too, with Matt Duchene.
Oh, that's one of the things that I said. If you go into a season where a player thinks he's going to be traded and they talk about him being traded, it hangs over a team. And it hung over Colorado. They traded Duchene. Good deal, by the way. Looks out. Hindsight, doesn't that look pretty good for Colorado? And they didn't get anybody who I'm thinking of who's NHL ready. They didn't get Kyle Turris. Turris ended up in Nashville on that trade.
And then they make the playoffs.
Yeah, because – and we're not saying that that's a different situation because the Duchene
yes.
thing was getting out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
In lots
Completely
of
different
things.
Situation.
But, so what you're talking about for the Hurricanes, there's going to be six new faces right now. Six new faces in that locker room, and I'm going to include Marty Nechas in that because he only played one game last year.
Yeah,
so six
like
new
six
faces.
Minutes too.
Six, yeah, exactly.
It was
six,
very quick.
It was, but he still, that doesn't count. So six new faces. They remade that, and again, I don't think that this is anything more than you've gone eight seasons with Jeff Skinner. You're coming to the end of the contract. Doesn't look like he is open to extending the deal. From what's out there. So the team was looking to maximize what they could get for him, and they did. I use something else too, even though this team, it's a bad analogy, Oriole fans, but the Orioles were sitting there hearing that Manny Machado is going to be traded. They finally traded him to the Dodgers. They didn't get anything that is stepping into the major leagues right now today, and all of a sudden the Orioles start hitting the cover off the ball because they don't have to deal with it anymore. They don't have to deal with the trade. And I'm referring to if you go into the season with a player who everybody expects to be traded, that hangs over a team. It really does. So you just move on. Not saying that the Canes would have an awful start to the year.
Right.
Or anything like that. But I'm just saying stuff like that.
It
as much as players say it doesn't,
yes,
it does.
Yeah. It helps wipe the slate clean.
Yes.
And, of course, we wish all the best to Jeff Skinner. I mean, he was in the room for us to talk to. He was always great, always open to talking to us about just really whatever.
Always gracious.
Really,
I liked it because, Michael, I was in the locker room when he walked in at 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I was covering this team. And I hate to use this term, but I did watch him grow up and mature. And he always had a minute. Whenever I'd ask him, he'd always take the time. I'd ask for an interview. after a loss, if he was available, if they made him out, he would sit there and he would talk, and then he would wait. And sometimes, you know, as the locker room works, sometimes we don't get to the guy we want to get to first. Like you said, he was there. He is a good person, too. That's the one thing for Jeff Skinner, the stuff that I've seen, signing autographs at the rink and what he did for teachers.
Yeah,
where
the
he had
53's
the,
Difference Makers was awesome.
The teachers program where after games he'd go out and, you know, lots of times after a loss, the last thing you want to do is go out and meet people and have to put a smile on your face. And, you know, he did that. And he loves to play the game. Like, how many times in practice would we sit back and just laugh at him laughing at playing the game, trying to do something? So nothing but the best for Jeff Skinner. I hope that he has a long and great career. He penned a very nice note that he put out on Twitter to the fans in Carolina, how this area embraced him as an 18-year-old. He wasn't sure what to expect and, you know, how he grew up here. So that, I think, is the measure of it. We do have lots of questions that we're going to get to on this.
Some Skinner-related, some not.
It's Canes Cast episode 53. No, we didn't know it. No. This wasn't planned.
This wasn't planned. Oh, there's the episode title.
This wasn't planned. With the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
All right, buddy. So is there anything else that you want to get into before I lay this at your feet?
Well, I think we tried our best to cover the whole
landscape
gamut
of the trade.
Of when it came about, why it's done, you know, what it means going forward. I think we covered it to the best of our abilities. And I'm sure some questions will touch on some facets that we might have forgotten.
As far as trades go, if I can just calm everybody right down, I wanted to use a much stronger word than right. But if I can calm everybody down, listen up. If you ever heed any advice that I give you in sports, pro sports, about trades, it's whenever it's prospects and picks for a player, you cannot judge that deal until 2-3 years down the road, till you find out what the picks are, what the prospects turned into. And then you can really judge it. And I know, again, stinks on the surface, losing a popular player that people, fans adored. People adored Jeff Skinner. And there's lots of reasons to figure out why. Scores lots of goals, the infectious smile, run down the list. But at the end of the day, it's a business. And the Hurricanes had to do what's best for their business. And you hadn't made the playoffs in 9 seasons, and he is part of 8 of those seasons. You have to do something different, and that's what the Hurricanes organization is trying to do. But don't just do that. And I don't know if you get a lot of it, but I do. I'm not doing this, and I'm turning in that. Just, you got to calm down for a second. You know, you just really do. Because I hate to say this, gone are the days that a player is going to finish his entire career with a team. And there's also something else.
It's rare, yeah.
There's also something else, too. If you want a team to get better, to change, and make the playoffs, you can't keep coming at it with the same players. Like, you just can't do that. And people will sit there and say, we need this and we need that. And then, I don't know how much you interact, but I love the interaction. But I always like the return when I'm like, well, I think you'd have to trade this guy or that guy. We wouldn't trade them. Well, then how do you expect to get anything in return? How do you expect to improve? So the team made a move, and 3 years from now, if Jeff Skinner's skating in Toronto or skating someplace else, wherever, because he doesn't re-sign in Buffalo, and Cliff Pooh is scoring 20 goals, and the second-round pick turns into a player, a prospect who's climbing up the charts,
You're not going to hate
the trade.
And the second round has been good to the Hurricanes as of late. I mean, guys like Sebastian Aho, Justin Falk, Brock McGinn, Phil DiGiuseppe, Victor Rask, even Janne Kuokkanen, all second-round picks.
All right, I'll give you one where I'm really emotional. You talk about teams I'm emotional about. I'm a Yankees fan.
The Yankees, yes.
I don't apologize for it. The Yankees, when I was younger, traded Roberto Kelly, who was, at the time, one of my favorite players on the team. It was Don Mattingly and, like, Roberto Kelly. Like, that's where it was. He was their center fielder. He was really good. He was a burgeoning star. They traded him for some guy who was a platoon right fielder in Cincinnati named Paul O'Neill. And at the time, I'm like, this is the worst trade ever. Everybody's dumb. I don't like sports anymore. Blah.
And you tweeted it.
Yeah, because it was in the 90s, and I was ahead of the Twitter curve.
You sent in an op-ed to the paper.
Oh, I did. I did. Let me think. That would have been.
Or letters to the editor, I guess it would have been.
I would have been a teenager? Yeah. I would have been. I think that trade happened like 91, 92.
You would have had to put pen on paper and then like mail it.
Use
to
my
them.
Word processor. That's for the Canadians.
There's a comedian that does a joke that's, I think, ultimately about gun control. It's sort of related here. But like, if you're angry about something, then like making your opinion known takes a bit longer than it does now. Like now you could form an opinion about something and 2 seconds later, everybody knows it. But back then, it takes a little bit because you have to put some effort, right?
Oh, yeah.
And,
but
know.
I was upset. Yes. And then Paul O'Neill turned out to be one of my favorite players of all time.
There you go.
So there you go. So, again, it goes back to my Zen philosopher. We'll see.
Yeah.
I get all of the anger, all of the emotion. I get it all because
sports.
We've been there. But we'll see. Speaking of.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
All right. I'm going to put this out there. We've already heard Mr. Farrell, one of the players who steps into the lineup this year to take Jeff Skinner's place, will score 25 goals. So I've got a 1-in-3 chance of it being Andrei Svechnikov, Martin Natchez, Michael Ferland. Now, Natchez, I think, is going to play center. So if you want me to curb that and go wings, I'll go wings if you need me to.
I think I'm going to send it back. I think some players
25 is a big number in the league now. That's why.
It is. I think some players are going to get very close. But that is a tough threshold to cross. I do think cumulatively.
There you go.
The whole, take that one slow.
The whole becomes more than the parts.
Yes, yes. But singularly, I don't know if there's one of those players is going to reach that plateau. I'm going to send it back.
All right. Fair enough. That's why I put it out there. That is a big number now in the National Hockey League.
And I think a reasonable number for Svechnikov in his rookie season is between 40 and 50 points. And so if you look at that, that's probably around the 20-goal mark. Sebastian Aho had 49 points in his rookie season. I would expect Svechnikov somewhere in that range.
We also have to see who he's going to play with, too.
That's true. I mean, he could form an incredible partnership with Martin Natchez, and they're just – you know, back and forth all season long, which would be awesome.
Maybe Valentin Zhikov becomes that guy.
Yeah.
So there's lots of questions. I would ask, do you have one?
Well, I think so.
I have one waiting for you right here.
Yeah, some fans sent some.
Kakalaki Chaser sent us about 35, but then finally gave us the real one, if you're ready.
Okay.
And this will be you. You can send it to me.
Okay,
or
sure.
Do I need to read it?
No, no,
you?
No. I've got it right here.
The legit one, where it's okay.
Yeah, because two of them aren't. If you like it, take it. If not, send it back. He says, the Jeff Skinner trade was a smaller piece for a bigger Falk trade. And that's from at Kakalaki Chaser on Twitter.
I'm going to send it back for right now.
Yeah, I would agree.
And here's why. You hit on it earlier. Justin Falk is under contract for 2 more seasons. His no-trade movement clause kicked in, July 1st? I believe that's when his no-trade clause kicked in.
Mm.
So I'm going to send it back.
But I don't know if it's as limited as Skinner's. I think it's much more broad.
But what I will add is I don't think that the Skinner trade will have anything to do with the Falk trade.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
In the immediate.
I was going to the two would not be correlated, I don't think. I think they're each independent of one another, and I don't think the Hurricanes feel a pressing need to move Falk as maybe they did with Skinner coming out of the exit meetings.
No, that back six, absolutely not. I don't think there's a reason to want to do that.
I think there's still some question marks there because, you know, for a guy like Hayden Fleury who played 60-some games in his rookie season last year, he's now tasked with really having to come in and have a dynamite training camp in order not to be really the extra defenseman. Perhaps he starts the season in Charlotte because you can move him back and forth without waivers. So that's an option. But, you know, having Justin Falk on your third pair, it's not a bad thing because that's a great six defenseman that you're going to have hit the ice every night. But it also creates maybe sort of a logjam where guys like a Hayden Fleury or even a Trevor Carrick or Roland McEwen have a tough time cracking the lineup.
I wanted to stop you right there, but I'm glad you kept going because you know what that does? That creates competition.
It does, yes.
So I am a fan of you've got to earn a spot onto a roster. and to beat out Dougie Hamilton, Brett Pesce, Justin Falk, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Calvin DeHaan. Oh, seven new faces. Calvin DeHaan's in the locker room now. You're his drinking buddy.
Yeah, we go drinking.
Well,
on occasion.
Well, you should. You've been. Does he come over on the weekends?
No.
All right. And Jacob Slavin.
Yes.
That is. Those are six defensemen that you have to do something pretty special to earn a spot in that lineup. I love it. I love the competition. I love how the blue line is made. And the other thing I like about that is you don't have to sit there and go, well, we're playing this guy 29 minutes tonight on the blue line. You can really even out the minutes for the defenders this year. I mean, if you wanted to, everybody could play 20 minutes, you know, break it up that way if you really wanted to on the blue line. So I'm for it. I'm there.
And Dean Chenault just has a wealth of resources to use.
Oh, I know.
Like, that's, you know. That's,
talk about,
I have
talk about
to
a
imagine.
Good situation to walk into as an
exactly.
assistant coach. So.
Exactly.
All right, we got a lot of questions.
Lots of questions.
Let's get to them. Let's get them answered.
Okay. Overly optimistic Kaniac asks, what's your favorite Jeff Skinner moment? And I think Jamie Kellner also asked this. Both fine Twitter folks.
Good people. Good Canes fans.
So, yeah, what's your...
Good friends of the podcast. Off ice, for me, it was hosting the... Kane's Corner at the Backyard Bistro his rookie year, like with the All-Star Week around it. I was not alive for the Beatles to be together and what a show was like. I have to think that that was what it was like. It was awesome. The mayor of Markham, Ontario called in and wished him well, and people went nuts and ate it up. That's, for me, I think, and that's kind of selfish because I was – part of that moment, but that's,
I had a selfish one too.
For me, that's the moment that stands out for me with Jeff Skinner.
And I think these are naturally going to be selfish because they're our favorite moments. We were involved in them. I always enjoyed Jeff Skinner would come into the locker room on Mondays after a Panthers game, especially during that 15-1 season Super Bowl run and everything. And he'd be like, "Oh, keep pounding, eh?" And then we'd talk for, you know, whatever about Panthers football. That was always fun because, you know, he's a guy from Markham, Ontario. The NFL is not what it is in Canada as it is in the United States, obviously. But it was fun, you know, just chatting football with him.
Yeah, we talked baseball a lot. He was a Blue Jays fan. I'm a Yankees fan, so.
And he would always, you mentioned it earlier, he would always have a ton of fun in practice. He would unscrew the caps on the water bottle sometimes, and then just, you know, a player would take a drink and dump water all over him. That always made me laugh.
On the ice. Yeah, that's good. On the ice, man, there's a lot of them. His beat the clock goal.
Oh, yeah.
That stands out. I mean, he did score some big goals in situations where.
Well, and just fun to watch play and skate because he's such a unique skater. So it was fun to watch him. Handle the puck.
All right. This one comes in from Cameron Bass 8151. I won't hit you with a Skinner question, so let's go to a more lighthearted topic. On Black Friday, the Canes will play with their third jersey. Should we have a blackout night at PNC Arena?
Sure.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wear a black t-shirt?
Sure.
Wear a black shirt? Come on in. I'm wearing a black shirt right now.
Yes, so. You are. I don't know if they'll be formally organized, but yeah, feel free.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great. I'd be for it. I support it. Yeah, I'm in, Bass. Moving on. Michael Smith.
This from Twitter, we've sort of touched on it. Does this trade make trading Falk more or less likely?
I don't think it changes it.
I don't think it changes it. I think, you know, we've sort of said before that the likelihood of one of them getting traded is much higher than both of them, and I'm still firm in my stance there. I wouldn't expect anything to happen. But if something were to come across Don Waddell's table, that's, you know, worth looking at. Then certainly.
All right. This from our favorite Scott Paul Lawson. You can follow him on Twitter at @the_90 with underscores between the and 90. The Skinner trade has brought us prospect Cliff Poo, who's put up good numbers in the OHL the past two seasons. Assuming he starts in Charlotte. With the Checkers, where does he fit in terms of depth? As far as forwards go now, is he going to be a right winger, left winger? How are they going to work that out? I would say he's probably, as far as call-ups go, and Michael Smith, the Web's Mike Smith, Kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. There's a chance we'll get a call-up, but I would say just how the checkers are, he's probably fifth or sixth in the forward ranks for a call-up unless he just goes blistering hot to start the season, because Warren Fogle, Lucas Walmark, Alexi Sorella, Yanni Kolkinen, I mean, those are four guys right off the top of my head that I think would get a shot before Cliff Pooh would hear his name get called up here. Doesn't mean that he might not, but I'd put those four guys in front of him right now. And, of course, you know, Patrick Brown gets called up too. He's a solid, reliable player, the captain of the checkers. He gets an opportunity to come in and get a play here, yes, and there when the team needs a solid player. So I think he's around there. I think he's in that 5-6 range of, yeah, of depth, forward depth for the organization.
But we'll see, we'll see what kind of impression he leaves on training camp, because the Hurricanes front office scouting staff likes him, but the coaching staff probably hasn't. They're probably not as familiar with him. So that'll be their first,
yep,
hands-on experience with him come training camp here in about a month.
Yep.
William I. Wells.
I like this question.
On Twitter. Do the NHL Canes have any input on what EA Sports puts into their games? Well, clearly not. Since the number letter font switch in 2013, EA has continued to use the 97 to 2012 font on the current jerseys. Is it a licensing issue? No, it's just a laziness issue.
It's, wow. You're all in.
I'm not holding back. Yeah,
two things on that. No, it's not licensing, because EA Sports has a license to the NHL and the jerseys and Adidas and all of that. They have to change the font. They have to go in and actually.
It really probably isn't that hard. But
maybe, or maybe not, because the way that the graphics are, does the Canes font not work well with they're doing? It should be.
I'm calling them out. If they want to call us out on Twitter, I'm going to call them out on Canescast.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
all
take
right.
That, EA.
Throw it again.
No, it's just
so
lazy.
Why didn't they do it?
Lazy.
There it is. That's the Web's Michael Smith giving his inside information. This from Josh Holdner. It's episode 53. What are your thoughts of 53 getting traded to Buffalo, and does this hurt our chances of a playoff run minus a 30-goal score? I think we've hit our thoughts on the trade. Does it hurt the playoff chances? I'm going to go no, because I don't know what Andrei Svechnikov and Martin Natchez and Valentin Zhikov and Michael Ferland are going to make this team look like. The easy answer is to say, well, of course, you're taking a 30-goal scorer off of the roster. But at the same time, you haven't made the playoffs with Jeff Skinner on the roster.
Yeah, the easy answer is yes, because you look at the depth chart on paper and you say, okay, there's Skinner, and then you take that out of it. And yes, of course, it looks worse on paper. But I think it's going to work out in the team's favor. But, that's why they play the games. We'll see. That's what we're going to rename this podcast. We'll see.
That's for my – maybe I'll have a segment. Can we do that? Because every time we do a segment, you just don't contribute anything to it.
Oh, that's not entirely true.
Well
– I have some help.
You have some insight. I ask you, and then you usually send it back or keep it.
From Josh at @junior_biscuit on Twitter, what was the Asheville restaurant you enjoyed so much? And I believe that question is to you.
It came through. I've been looking for that. The restaurant is Curate.
Oh,
it's really good. And we got right in. Like, it's one of the – you go and check the food lists, the restaurant lists for the East Coast, or, best 100 restaurants in the country. It's on that list. Now, again, Spanish tapas, little stuff, but, oh, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was – I can – they had a pork dish, Michael Smith. This is for our good friend Bill Berniston, strength and conditioning coach, who is listening in from the Carolina Hurricanes and from TPANC – .com.
$5.
Thank you very much.
$10, actually.
Because Bill loves it when I talk about food.
Maybe we'll have him. I know we tease maybe having him on.
We'll
maybe
him on
next week.
Next week. It was one of the best pork dishes I ever had.
Hashtag yum.
Hashtag scrumptious. but that's it. Curate. It's good. Oh, you want to keep it on the food side? Let's do this.
Yeah, I think we
Andrew
have another...
Clark had one. Top 3 to 5 restaurants in NHL cities, not including Raleigh, of course. That is from @awaitingandrew. Now, do you want...
I mean, that's a really, really tough question.
Do you want, like...
And
let's limit this for us, and if Andrew wants to, we'll keep this open because it's the summer. We'll go to lunch spots for right now. Because we get lunch a lot on the road, more than dinner.
And
some
too,
cities
like,
we don't have dinner.
I'm sure there are some really, really good like five-star restaurants.
Oh, man.
But
I've done some research this summer.
Yeah, but I don't go to those as much.
All right,
I stick to like the dives and the.
Well, I try to broaden your horizons.
Yeah,
that's all I try to do.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're gonna do this. Let's go lunch spots. We'll give them 4 or 5. We'll agree. Meat and bread.
Oh, it's fantastic. And now in Calgary, too.
It was in Calgary.
Vancouver and Calgary.
That's the whole thing. It was in Calgary. I was trying to tell you that, and you didn't believe me. Then finally, you were looking at your phone. I'm like, oh, there's meat and bread here. You're like, oh, meat and bread's here.
Let's go. And so we went.
And then we went again in Vancouver, and it was delicious. Reuben's in Montreal.
Yes.
So you can
You'll notice a trend here.
The famous 76. Is it the famous? Or, yeah, the old.
The
original.
The OG 76.
Oh, man.
The, what is it called? Parish House in Boston? Parish?
Oh, yeah. Parish Cafe.
Parish Cafe. That was really good.
That I talked you into. And
yes.
It was a bit of a cab ride away, but man, it was worth
and
it.
And a $20 sandwich, I think, but it was worth every penny.
I don't know. Was it really worth that?
It was something like that. But it was delicious.
It was delicious. I don't...
And very filling.
Yes. It was all the way delicious. So there's... Parish
there's
Cafe
three.
Is a good spot. There's three. I mean
there's
Velvet Taco I can now see is a good lunch spot in Chicago.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's so many other restaurants that we haven't even touched.
Let's hit where we save it for Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
In-N-Out Burger.
Of course. Of course. That's like, and for us East Coast guys especially, too, because we just don't get it.
That's
maybe
why.
If we lived on the West Coast, it'd be different, but... You know, for us, we get it once or twice a year. It's like
off the charts.
Put it on a pedestal.
It's off
it's
the
charts. Delicious.
Exactly. And it's what Michael said. We don't get it. And St. Louis, while we do not truly, not our favorite road city, one of the best food spots.
Yeah, we appreciate it more there.
Sauce on the side.
Yes.
It is a basically, how can I put it? It's a
calzone place.
A calzone joint.
And but it is, like, you think calzones, and then you go to this place.
And totally changes
different
the
level, yeah.
So there you go. All right, so Reuben's, Meat and Bread, Parish Cafe. We've
Boston,
got Velvet Taco. That's
Chicago.
In Chicago.
There's also one in Dallas, I think, actually, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And In-N-Out Burger in Arizona and Southern California.
Yeah.
And then we'll round it up with sauce on the side in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
All right.
Another good sandwich question from... at tweets by Dano on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think he works with us. What's the best sandwich in Raleigh?
It's
well, Dan.
Tough question.
That
I've
is a good question.
Lots of thought.
I did too. There's a sandwich house that I went to not too long ago, up in North Raleigh. It's north of 540 off of Falls. Of Noose.
Is there civilization up there?
Yeah, there is.
All right,
and
good
a really good sandwich spot. It's called Press Sandwich House. It used to be called Nasher's Sandwich House. Now it's called Press Sandwich House, and it is...
Did Nasher's move to Columbus, too?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's really, really good.
What's the best sandwich, though? He didn't ask for the place. He asked for the best sandwich.
Well, that's where you can get a really good sandwich.
Oh,
there, I've had two, and they're
just
both
answer the question, man.
Well, no, that's I think the question
I
went, is
if I would have done that, I could have gone, oh, this place for a sandwich. I actually broke it down to the sandwich.
Oh. Well, I was just thinking place because I've had two sandwiches there, and they've both been phenomenal.
Well,
I don't think you can go wrong.
Mine is the Mediterranean porchetta sandwich from the food truck. Porchetta.
I was going to say, too, there are some really good food truck sandwiches out there.
That is my number one sandwich, the Mediterranean porchetta sandwich from the food truck, porchetta. They have a brick and mortar as well.
Yes.
So it's, what is it, South Point Mall?
I think it might be closed now.
Okay. Not sure.
Google it before
I don't.
You go.
I mean, look for the food truck. That's all.
Wandering Moose also has some really delicious sandwiches.
Yes,
that
they do.
Jerk chicken sandwich is phenomenal. Also, their Cuban sandwich is really good.
So, all right, see, there you go. Was that so hard to come up with sandwiches?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you go to Prest, I think you can order anything, and it would be delicious. Right. And same thing with porchetta and Wandering Moose.
Oh,
I really
absolutely.
Don't think you can go wrong.
All right, so that's answered. Good and good.
From Grant Merritt at gmerritt01, Do the Hurricanes, as they stand, have enough scoring potential to be in the playoffs without Jeff Skinner? Yes, I do think so.
Yeah, and we touched on that. We'll get to it one more time.
And it's more, it's going to be more of, I think, a group contribution than it is a singular contribution there. But I think the potential is there for sure.
Yeah, especially when I take a look at the lines right now and the balance that I think there's going to be. Let's mark in, and we can start doing this. Let's mark in Sebastian Aho for 25 goals. Let's mark
even,
in.
I think he might get to 30 this
I'm
year.
I'm just saying. Write it down.
Yes.
25. Teuvo Teravainen, 25 goals. Let's write him down for that. Let's write down, and I don't care how you want to put this line or whoever, but I'm going to put Jordan Staal in for 15. I'm going to put Justin Williams in for 10 to 15. I'm going to put Brock McGinn in for 10 to 15. So now in that, you got 45 off of that line if they stay together. Svechnikov, I'm going to put in for 20. Nachos, I'm going to put in 15 to 20. Ferland, I'm going to put in for 15 to 20. And then whatever you can get out of a fourth line right now, that could be a little bit more dynamic scoring because we haven't even put in Valentin Zhikov for what we think Jordan Martinook's going to do or what the blue line's going to do. Dougie Hamilton gets buckets. Yeah. That's what he does. He gets points.
When even Justin Falk is going to score more. Likely score more goals than he did last year. So
there you have all of that. This from Frank at SoCal Caniac. Gentlemen, what's the most exciting, fun thing you've done this summer? Thanks, Frank. For me, it was seeing...
Thanks, Frank.
I don't know. Nah, the Foo Fighters at Wrigley
Field. I was going to say, you've had a pretty robust summer
as of
late.
Still a little more to go.
Yep.
But seeing the Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field, that was fun. I was with a good group of people, and Dave Grohl... melted faces.
Yeah, I mean that's tough to argue against that.
Yeah,
my vacation in May was wonderful. Going on another one at the end of August.
Cruise?
Yep,
that's what you do.
That's what I do.
You're a cruise going human being.
Sam Kenny, at @the_realKenny.
Oh, good.
Which upcoming Canes player? Oh, I skip one. We'll get back to that one. Which upcoming Canes player do you think will benefit the most from the Skinner trade? And how are Julian Gauthier and Stelio Mateos progressing?
Oh, man. Every time I hear Stelio Mateos' name, I think of the episode of American Dad with Stelio Kantos. Not going to do that.
Oh, I was waiting for
it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Just leave it out there. You can Google it and figure it out. But if Stelio Mateos makes the team, we have to find a way to get that song in when he scores a goal.
I'm going to say Zhikov.
Yeah, I think Valentin Zhikov is the easiest one. You want to go in-depth?
Sure. Why not?
Alexei Sarella.
Okay.
Or Sarella. Because now there's a chance for him
to put his
skates on the ice here at PNC Arena.
I do think it opens doors that might have been not closed, but cracked a little bit. Now that door is open a little wider for someone to come in because there is a roster spot up for grabs.
So Sarella is the guy who I would go to, like, because now there is that spot. He's supposedly a sniper and a goal scorer.
And
so.
Kuokkanen played 4 games here last year. Perhaps he gets another look this year.
So I think that's it. But I think the immediate impact goes to Valentin Zhikov.
And Gauthier and Mateos. Gauthier is actually in Raleigh right now working out with the small group of guys that'll just be growing over the next few weeks. I think he's coming along. We've been mentioning all these guys who, you know, have potential to benefit from this trade. Julian Gauthier is a guy who could come in and really have a good camp and see where that goes. You know, I think.
Or it gives him bigger minutes in Charlotte
to
expand his game and turn into a player. So, yeah, that's it. Anything else, Mr. Smith?
I think we have a few more questions.
Get to it.
Let's see. Nathan White asks. As a very dedicated fan, it gets tiring and extremely upsetting with the reputation that's building around the team. Granted, many of it is misinformed journalism and lack of positive media attention. How does the organization start shedding light and create a positive image?
Win
is the easiest answer, but it's also about, you know, what you read. And
once you get a label, it's hard to shake. And the best way to shake it is playing winning hockey. That's it.
Yeah.
Honestly,
simple.
Because the Chicago Blackhawks organization 15 years ago was cheap. Nobody wanted to play for them. Nobody was going to the games. Nobody cared about them. They were awful, and now everybody in the world is a Chicago Blackhawks fan. Win. The LA Kings, same thing. Kings, oh, you know, it's nice, but when Wayne Gretzky was there, we cared about him. Now we don't. Oh, they win a couple of Stanley Cups. Guess what? Everybody's a Kings fan in LA. So it's the simplest answer that's out there. Win. The Pittsburgh Penguins were going to move three times in their existence. Mm-hmm. Once they got Mario Lemieux and started winning, everybody loved him. Then Mario Lemieux retired, and they kind of fell off the map. Then they got Sidney Crosby and started winning again, and everybody loved him. Win. It's the simplest answer I can give you.
Yep.
You win.
Just win.
Because, especially in today's day and age, if you don't make the playoffs, regular season is great for diehards, for people like the Webb's Michael Smith and me and people who are listening to Canes Cast. But to get positive light on a team, you have to win when you're in the limelight, in the spotlight, and that's the postseason. How many New England Patriots fans were there before 2001?
Two, maybe.
And they all lived in New England, and they just kept going, ah, Steve Grogan, and that was it. Now everybody's a Pats fan. You know, Cowboys used to have a hell of a lot more fans when they won.
America's team.
Don't hear that as much anymore.
Nope.
But if the Cowboys win 3-5, they'll be everywhere.
Yeah.
Just win.
Win, yeah.
That's it. That's the most impassioned answer I can give to that. And, well, you know, can I also stop with the anytime something's written about a team, it's a slight. Just don't play into that. That's that. I hate that. Oh, this is negative journalism or this is that. If somebody writes something bad about your team, ignore it.
Yeah.
Because 95% of the time, the national media, when they write something, they're literally just picking up a story that's been tread for a year or two. That's it. Or some rumor and innuendo that's out there. And which, by the way, that's where most of this comes from now. Because nobody gives journalism credit that it deserves. The people who are actually doing the work, I don't know where this is coming from. But there are so many good journalists out there, and it gets lost in this wash of, you know, Fred's Funky Hockey from my basement.com blog.
I read that every day.
As well you should. I do too, and I admit that I do.
Fred's a good writer.
No, not really. But he's the guy who's going to put, you know, my mom said that somebody is bad, so they stink, and then now it just picks up and they roll.
Or apparently a podcast off a website.
It happens.
That we won't touch that.
We got what I again. You can. I go right ahead. I don't care.
No, I'm not touching that.
All right.
Leaving that be.
Good.
I think we got through all of the questions.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we're all good. And we appreciate all the questions.
Oh yeah.
I try to
always.
I try to this is my time because I if I can give a little bit of the therapy, we're gonna get through this. We're gonna come out better for it. I'm glad we got that. That was a really good question. At the end, like, how do you do it? Just win.
Yeah. Well,
winning
and
cures everything. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a laughing stock. They won a Super Bowl. People didn't laugh at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers anymore.
It's also easy to just, like we talked about, look at the trade, say who won, who lost. Because
that's what everybody wants right away.
Right. And you get that perception of, oh, you lost, and then let's point it at them and laugh. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
And again, I pointed out the Sabres were in the exact same situation, and they probably got less. They didn't get three draft picks. They only got two. They got a first-round draft pick, but it's a late first-round draft pick. It's going to be a late first-round draft pick. And they got Danny O'Regan. Cliff Poo, I think, is a better prospect than Danny O'Regan right now. That's just how it goes. Man.
That's just how it goes.
Got amped up. Sorry.
I think that's about
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to get so worked up at the end. Okay.
Anything else you want to add to this episode 53 of Canes Cast?
No, but it's just weird how things work out in the world, man.
It is. We didn't plan it.
We did not.
Promise you that.
But we do plan on doing another podcast next week, and it'll be episode number 54, so I think everybody's safe.
Yeah, Brett Pesci switched numbers just in time.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
Yeah.
So that'll do it for us. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate everyone who listens in. And remember, you can download us on iTunes in the store or Google Play or listen to us on the website. And if you do listen to us on iTunes or Google Play, please leave a review and a rating, and Michael Smith and I will go down that again. 5 stars, we're best friends.
For life.
Always. 4 stars, we're really good friends. Probably going to go out, hang out, and do some stuff together.
Maybe.
3 stars, maybe we'll get lunch.
Maybe rethink the,
you know,
3 stars.
We'll get back to texts, maybe not speedy. 2 stars, hey, you listened, whatever, not your cup of tea. 1 star, I'm going to hold off before Michael Smith, the Web's Michael Smith, gives his answer because you have been salty today. good for you. Generally, I'm the sodium chloride. One star, why? Just be constructive with your feedback.
You're dead to me.
There you have it. For the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.